Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend bets against your team, end the friendship. Or choose chill because you're drinking Coors Light with your buddy. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean, Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Toffoli keeps it going around the horn. Far side of the ice, left wing boards. Stopped there now by Granlund. Holding onto it. Goes down low to Toffoli. Takes it back on the left wing boards. He hangs on, moves into the circle. Shoots, score!
Mikhail Granlund just tied the game. 2-2 with a minute 17 left in the third and an extra attacker on. What leadership and what finesse by Granlund as he makes it an even hockey game.
34 seconds left. Canucks really pressing to try to get the win in regulation. Shot will go wide of the goal. In front to the slot. They score! Pius Suter right in front of a net. Suddenly, it's 3-2 Vancouver with 25.7 seconds left. And how do you like that?
Well, to be honest, Dan, I did not like it very much at all. Good morning, everyone. You're on Morning Tide as we are looking back at the Sharks' 3-2 loss against Vancouver. And before I get into the nitty-gritty of what we saw in the game last night, my ultimate reaction, my ultimate takeaway was just to note that it's a far, far cry from what happened when they faced Vancouver early in the year last season, when they gave up 10 goals, when they got blown out at home, when it was the first of two consecutive games when they gave up 10 goals. This team is a far cry from where they were, and I think that you have to look big picture at that before you really get too upset at last night's loss. And that's not to say that you should not be annoyed or, you know, discouraged by last night's loss. All those feelings can be equally true. But to look at where they were a year ago against Vancouver and look at where they were now, it's entirely different. And I know Vancouver is not off to the hot start that they were a year ago. It's a different team, just as the Sharks are a different team. Things change in a year's time. And I guess that's my greater point, is that you look at where the San Jose Sharks have been versus where they are now, and it is a night and day difference. We are not talking about the same team. We are not talking about the same types of losses. We are not talking about the same type of ultimate outlook on the season. And not that this team is going to be, you know, a 40 plus win team this year, but I can see them getting somewhere in the realm of between, you know, 27 and, you know, 37 wins. I would think that that's definitely within the realm of possibility. Now, could they only have 22 to 25? Of course, that's definitely possible as well. But the Sharks are in these games. They're giving themselves a chance. If you want to look big picture, they've won 3 out of their last 4. If you want to look even bigger than that, they've had a number of games in which they've had the opportunity to win, and they didn't end up coming up with those wins. But it is a team that is improving from what we saw previously. It is a team that is in most games. They've only had 2. I really look at the game against Winnipeg and the game against Vegas, in which they were just, you know, not really in it. And that was at a different point of the roster. They're also without a very important player like Macklin Celebrini, who could be back on Tuesday. We'll have to wait and see. But things are trending in the right direction for San Jose. I think that is my ultimate takeaway, even in the midst of a frustrating loss, even in the midst of a game that you think you had it so many occasions where you could have given yourself an opportunity to win. That's not how it went down. But again, this team has improved and is improving from 1 week to the next and 1 month to the next, which is what ultimately we are looking for out of the season from San Jose. It's not about a linear progression of are they better, you know, one game to the next. Is the overall product improving? And I think that when you watch last night's game, you have to say yes. They only gave up 3 goals to a team that is very, very good. And yes, there are mistakes that happen when you give up a game, you know, winning goal to the opposition with under 30 seconds left to play. But at the same time, you were in it with up to 30 seconds left to play. So I'm going to take the positive rather than the negative. Of course, I'm frustrated. I thought the Sharks needed to walk away with a point out of last night's game. I thought the Sharks needed to do a better job of clearing that final possession and just being a little bit better there as opposed to, you know, being a little bit lackadaisical with their clearance. I don't think there was enough urgency at the end there. I think that you needed more veteran leadership in that moment. But unfortunately, that's not where it was. So the Sharks have to rectify that situation. They have to look and learn so that when the next time they are in that situation, they know exactly how to respond, how to be the better team, how to give themselves a better opportunity. I think one of the most encouraging aspects of what we've seen from the Sharks as of late is the fact that they continue to play a cleaner game of hockey. They are not giving up the penalties like they were. Of course, they're going to have games this year in which they are penalized, in which they do find things that they are making mistakes on and they're going to be penalized for them. But I think it's ultimately a trend that we've seen continuing where they recognize that they had big problems. They were taking too many lazy penalties, too many stick penalties, and they have rectified that to an extent out of their game. They're not going to be totally gone. They're not going to be perfect in any way, shape, or form, but they didn't draw a penalty until the third period. And that's the way you should be playing hockey. That's the way you should be giving up penalties overall, something that doesn't sneak into your game until late when maybe you're a little tired. Now, obviously, we'd like to give yourself a little bit of a lead by then, but the Sharks are not shooting themselves in the foot like they were as of late. That is my other big takeaway. This is another game in which the Sharks did not fall behind early. That has been the biggest rectification. Not that penalties don't have the chance to hurt you just as badly, but you can't get behind game after game after game. Not only is that just a difficult way to play hockey, let's not get around that, but it also just puts a psychological toll of everybody out there on the ice and on the bench of, here we go again. Here's another game in which we've got to dig ourselves out. Here's another situation in which we are simply going to have a difficult time figuring out how to get ourselves back into this game. Instead of sticking to our game plan, we're going to have some sort of magical play or moment to get ourselves back into this game. And I think that is the thing that you just take away by immediately keeping yourselves in the game. And if you can do that consistently, keep the big deficits out of your game, not falling behind early, especially not at home. We all understand falling behind on the road, but at home, you want to be able to take advantage of these situations, ride the momentum of the crowd, be able to take that to a lead early on. The Sharks were able to do that. Now, the lead was not super early. You didn't get that goal until the second period from Nico Sturm. But again, that is a positive sign. We go back before, you know, October 28th, and this team was struggling consistently with falling behind early and often and by large amounts, 2-0 or 4-1 and then 5-1 and then just, you know, things like that. That was part of their narrative, but they have broken that narrative. And I think that it's something that we saw over the course of last year. The Sharks were never able to break the narrative of having the blowout type games, even though they did not have any more 10 goal games like they did early on. They did rectify as they got later into the year and they let it get, you know, out of hand, but not as out of hand as those games were early on. That's got to be something that the Sharks do. They're going to fall behind in games, but how often can they limit it to a 1-0 deficit? Or not getting behind 4-1. You know, if they do get back into it after being down 2-1, they've got to be able to bounce back and figure out how to get, you know, right back into that game before it extends to 3-1 and 4-1. Those are the things I'm looking for. The next big step in the Sharks' rectification, which has been the problem as of late, even in these wins they've had as of lately, it's giving up a goal immediately after scoring a goal. And I don't know why this has crept into their game, and it's something that is relatively concerning. And I remember on the comeback against Utah, I remember the first thing they did after scoring a goal to make it 2-1 was give up a goal less than 90 seconds later. And then another 9 minutes after that, right before the end of the second period, they gave up another goal then to fall behind 4-1. So, you know, those are the things that do you in. Yes, the Sharks had an incredible comeback in that game to make it a 5-4 win when it's all said and done because they got, you know, three goals before the third period came to a close. They were down 4-1 with 5 minutes remaining, and then they had the overtime win. But this is where the Sharks are right now. The biggest bugaboo, as they've cut down on the early deficits, they've cut down on the penalties. Now it's surrendering goals a shift or two after they've scored a goal. That's like in baseball when you have a great inning where you score a couple runs, then your relievers come out and you immediately give up the lead that you had or you immediately get the deficit you had back to where it was. That's simply not a good way to go about a game. We talk about game management oftentimes. This is a big part of game management because you know that you know, sometimes a goal is what wakes up the opposition. Sometimes giving up that momentary weakness, that lapse on defense, a poor decision is what snaps a team back into it, and they start playing better hockey right away, and they look to make a response. You have got to be ready for that in the moment. And it seems like the Sharks are not ready for that response time and time again after they score these goals, because this has been very consistent in their game during the three-game win streak. And then last night, you know, they scored to make it a 2-2 game late. You had the extra attacker on. Mikael Granlund comes through, and you look like you're at least sending this to overtime. And then just a huge letdown. And I think that's the thing that hurts out of this game, is that you thought you had the opportunity to win this game. You would come through with the late goal to tie, and then suddenly you surrender that goal to go down, and you're stunned, and you realize that there's not enough time left, barring a miracle, and you maybe just had your miracle to get back into this game, and you're also looking at the game against Utah, which is less than a week removed, and you had a relative miracle in that game. A miracle in Utah, as our friend Randy Hahn said, and you couldn't find a way to win. I mean, that's how it goes in sports. But the hope is that seeing one slip away like that, where you had an opportunity to get a point, that should be not a wake-up call for the San Jose Sharks, because I think we all know where they are in their relative development as a team. We're not expecting them to win every game, but it's also a moment where they can look at that and say, you know what, we had a chance, but we made errors down the stretch. We made errors that didn't give us an opportunity to get the win. That's what we need to rectify. That's what we need to do to give ourselves a better chance to win. And if you do that, if you figure that out, then you can grow. And you start to add on top of that, and you give yourself just greater opportunities. That's what the Sharks need to do. It's about rectifying the mistakes. And yes, over the course of this season, there are going to be many times where you do find yourself at a deficit, where you do find yourselves behind, but it's about not letting it become the ultimate definition for a stretch of games. The Sharks need to figure out how to just lose a game where the mistakes are not the same mistakes that they've had recently. And I know that that sounds kind of silly, because you don't want them to make mistakes, but yeah, you are. You're going to have errors throughout the season. But what you want to keep away from is that you should be able to point to a game and look at it as singular and say the things that went wrong in this game were not the things that went wrong in the previous game, or previous loss, I should say, or are not the things that went wrong in the loss before that. You want to have games be relatively individualistic, where you can say, yes, in game, oh, let's say 37, maybe the penalty kill wasn't good enough. And in game 40, maybe you had mistakes where you just fell behind 2-0 early and couldn't get back into it. And then in game 47, you know, maybe you just didn't have a great night from your goalie. Those are the types of things where you can look at and say that the losses are individual losses, not the cumulative effect of things that you're consistently doing wrong. And that's got to be the goal, not that you're having these same issues happen in every single game, just that individual games have individual problems that you have individual answers for, and you can improve collectively to be a team that can win consistently in the National Hockey League. That is, to me, where they've got to be headed, and they're just not there yet. That doesn't mean that they can't get there, as we've seen plenty of improvement in the early part of this season, and they continue to fight. I think that's something that can't be overlooked when they are having close losses as opposed to getting blown out, when they are giving themselves the opportunity to win in the vast majority of these games. Of the games that they weren't in it, where they really didn't have an opportunity to win, the Chicago game and the Colorado game, both relatively similar games, losing 4-2 and 4-1, they still played good games. They still didn't have a chance to win, per se, but the scoreline was probably closer, or the scoreline was more indicative of a more separate game than maybe it really was, I should say. So that's, again, things that this team can build on. Speaking of the things that the team can build on, how about Mikael Granlund? He has 6 goals and 8 assists. He is on pace for a near 90-point season. This is a guy that many people looked at and felt that his most productive days were behind him, and he just keeps being an absolute monster for the San Jose Sharks. You know, last year we looked at his overall season, and he had a 60-point year, and that was only in 69 games played, so he was 13 shy of the full season. If we extrapolate that over 82 games, that means he would have scored about 71 points, so he is performing at an extremely high clip, and he just continues to get it done. I mean, that's the ultimate takeaway here, is that he has 6 goals and 8 assists. He is producing more than a point per game right now. He is coming through huge every single night for San Jose. And I don't know if he's going to be part of the long-term project of what the Sharks are doing, but boy, you hope that he is, because a guy who plays like that, who is giving his all in every single game, that's the type of leadership the team needs. It's not just about the point production. It's about him putting it out there on the line. And he plays like this team is a contending team. He is beating the best players. He is playing at an extremely high clip. He is giving the Sharks his all every single game. And I think that a lot of the guys have to be able to look at that and have to be able to see exactly what he is giving so that they recognize that they have to do the same. All the veterans on the Sharks should be looking to Mikael Granlund, seeing what he's doing and recognizing that that is the type of effort that it needs to be every single night that you go out there on the ice. Now, we look at other things out of last night's game, and I do appreciate the fact that you're getting more and more production out of just everyone involved, because, you know, for too long, it was the same guys over and over and over. And there was a little bit of that tonight where you had, again, Granlund and Toffoli showing up. But you also had Luke Cunnan. You know, he's up to about 5 points right now. Nico Sturm had his second goal of the season. So it's good that we're getting a little bit more from him with a little bit more consistency. He's got 2 goals and 2 assists now, 4 points on the year. You also saw William Eklund get on the scoring. He had an assist in this one. So again, the consistent production from guys other than Granlund and Toffoli needs to be stacking up, and you are getting more of it. And again, last night was a tight game. You're talking about a 2-2 game until you get late into the third period and you give up that game winner with fewer than 30 seconds remaining. That is ultimately not going to be a huge offensively generating game, but you're seeing other guys get in on the scoring. And then you got to give a huge amount of credit to Tyler Toffoli. He keeps on producing. He has 11 points now in 13 games. And then you look at Luke Cunnan. Like I said, he's producing more. Same thing with Sturm. Eklund continues to get in onto the score line, seemingly game after game after game. He's played in 12 games up to this point of the season. He's got 9 points, and I don't think he's been particularly hot as of yet. He's just been playing a consistently high-quality game, so he'll continue to produce. But again, you need production down the line. I liked what we saw out of Liljegren in this game. He was +2 on the night. I think, obviously, plus and minus is a relatively deceptive stat, but for his first game, I thought he fit in well, found himself on the power play, even though they did not convert. Still an opportunity for San Jose to bring in that new player and get more and more out of him. But the most important thing to me was that he did not look out of place. And that's the most important thing out of a new player's performance. Do they look like they can fit in with what you're trying to do? Do they look like they have the ability to be the guy that you hoped they would be when you acquired them? Which, you know, Liljegren, I don't think his defense is going to be the ultimate thing that you're looking at him just individually. I think you're looking at his offensive contributions, because the Sharks need more from their blue liners, and I think he can bring that. And he's also a younger guy. He fits in more with the timeline of where the Sharks are right now. So, you know, I think through one game, you see the potential, and hopefully that will grow into more. And like I said, he's +2 on the night. That's, you know, not indicative of much, but he was happy to be out there playing, I'm sure, after he'd only played one game up to this point of the year. And then suddenly he looks like, you know, he fits in and that he is the guy that the Sharks hoped they were getting. So that, again, is a positive coming out of last night's game. And I can't believe we're just getting to it, but Mackenzie Blackwood was also absolutely phenomenal in last night's game as well. He made a number of big stops early on, which gave the Sharks an opportunity to stay in the game. And, you know, when you make those big stops, you need to be offensively rewarded. And, you know, when you only have one goal until Mikael Granlund gets the late goal to give you a 2-2 tie with, you know, a minute 17 remaining in the third period, that's not enough. Mackenzie Blackwood, if he's only given up 2 goals when you're 15:38 of the third period, he deserves more than that. And that continues to be the story with Mackenzie Blackwood. Every time he goes out, it seems like he is not getting the offensive support that he needs. Granted, that's where the Sharks are right now. They are not the offensive generating team that you need them to be. And so they are going to be in these games that are very tight, in which they're not giving the goalies the quote-unquote support that they need. But Mackenzie Blackwood seems like every time he's going out as of late, he's given the Sharks a chance to win. I know the game against Utah, he did not love his performance, but I think that ultimately he kept them in that one within, you know, shouting distance. They were able to get themselves back into it. But more often than not, when Mackenzie Blackwood gets out there this year, he is giving the Sharks a chance. And I think that's what you have to expect. That's what you have to look for. Is your goalie giving you a chance game in, game out? Yeah, I think if Mackenzie Blackwood were on a different team in the NHL, his numbers would be better. He would probably have a lot more wins, obviously. But, you know, right now he is an asset. And, you know, I'm excited to see Vitek Vanacek in his next performance, because right now Mackenzie Blackwood has been good game after game after game. You love what you're seeing from him. And now you want to see Vitek Vanacek come back and see if he can help the Sharks get back onto the winning side of things, because this is the interesting thing about where the Sharks are right now is that they are bouncing between extremes up to this point of the year. They had a losing streak, 9 winless to start the year, and then they got right into a win streak where they had 3 straight wins. Can they now go back and forth? Can they lose 1, win 2, lose 2, win 2, lose 1, win 1, lose 2, and see if they can find some sort of a flow to their season where it's not just back and forth from extremes? Because that's not been what they've been able to do over the last couple of years. Last year, of course, they had multiple extended losing streaks, and I think that would be another form of improvement for San Jose, would be to see if they can turn in a type of performance which has them back and forth, just kind of finding some sense of normalcy and flow to a season, as opposed to having it punctuated by these, you know, huge swings in one way or another. Now, obviously, last year, their talent deficit was such that they were frequently on the wrong end of where things were. But, you know, that next step for San Jose has got to be just a little bit more of a normalization as a team in the NHL. And one of the things we've consistently talked about is that, why did guys like Barclay Goodrow and why did guys, you know, like a Tyler Toffoli come here? And the idea was that they would be able to help, you know, stem the tide, that if you were giving up many, many goals, it wouldn't turn into a, you know, 10-goal performance for the opposition. If you'd lost 2 or 3 in a row, that it wouldn't turn into 5 or more extended. And that's got to be what these guys are doing. And listen, Tyler Toffoli has cooled a little bit as of late, but that's okay. You know, Mikael Granlund has gotten that much hotter, and you're seeing more guys contribute across the board. But, you know, Tyler Toffoli was doing his job and still is doing his job. He picked up another point last night, but it's got to be everybody, right? I mean, everybody has to be contributing. You're still figuring out everything. And, you know, the other part about this is that the Sharks might be getting Macklin Celebrini back on Tuesday night when they host Columbus. You know, he hasn't played since game 1 of the year. And to get him back out there will improve every single line, will improve every single player, will give them more and more and more out there on the ice. And I think everyone should be very excited about that, because he was such a big piece. You could see it in the training camp and preseason in the first game of the year. Not having him out there on the ice has hurt the Sharks, which is incredible to say because he's 18 years old and he's played 1 game in the NHL. But I am not going to be surprised if when he comes back that the Sharks have a significant upgrade in terms of their overall performance, because he is such a high caliber offensive performer. And just, again, that's exactly what you need. The Sharks need more offense. The defense has been improving. The netminding has been quality. They've been better at their game management. What they need is more scoring. You know, their season high is 5 for a reason. In their win against Chicago, they scored 3 goals. In their win Tuesday night against LA, they scored 3 goals in normal gameplay and then 1 empty netter. So it's, again, a game in which they scored 4, but that 4th was coming off the empty net when LA was desperate to get back into the game. But you're looking at all these games which the Sharks are struggling to score more than 3 goals. That seems to be, you know, what you can relatively expect, and Macklin Celebrini will allow them to be that much better. At least that is my hope. All right, I am out on the road with the CUDA right now, and I was able to talk to the general manager of the San Jose Barracuda, Joe Will, who's also the assistant general manager for the San Jose Sharks. We just talked about a lot of the storylines defining their nice start to the season. Of course, they did lose yesterday by a score of 3-1, but they're back at it again today. A 1 o'clock go time on the West Coast, 3 o'clock out here. But yes, an interview with Joe Will to talk about how the hot start in CUDA have been going. All right, we are now joined by the general manager of the San Jose Barracuda and assistant general manager of the San Jose Sharks, Joe Will. Joe, what's going on? How are you doing?
Great, Ted. Just glad to be in Iowa, a little bit different from our divisional play.
You have the team off to a very nice start this year. Obviously, last year, the juxtaposition of being a tough year with things going well so far. How does that feel just for you and everyone involved?
I think it's really great to see the progress of our young prospects and our organization right now, just kind of taking the next step, and it's been a good start, and hopefully we can keep this going.
How satisfying do you think it is for John McCarthy, who, of course, you know, last year had to go through a tough season, and this year has things going in the right direction?
I think very satisfying. It's been, you know, it was a tough couple of years. Not surprising as we're kind of rebuilding and bringing some new talent in and kind of feeling our way. But it's great for him now to have, a better group of prospects, better group of veterans and everything else going.
last year, of course, a big issue with some of those veteran players like Justin Bailey and Ryan Carpenter having to go up to San Jose and taking away from some of that experience that would have otherwise been there. How nice is it to have those veteran players there this year?
It's great because, you know, it's not just the development of our young players. We kind of always look at the Barracuda as, you know, serves three purposes: develop young players for the Sharks long term, the ongoing depth of the San Jose Sharks long term and throughout the season, and also to win.
Yaroslav Oskarov will be making the start again tonight. He was phenomenal in the win against Coachella Valley on Wednesday. He's had a couple of shutouts. In terms of the hype that was around him with the acquisition, has he paid much attention to it at all? Because he doesn't act like he's very impressed with himself.
He's extremely professional. He's actually a very positive influence in our room, and the players love him. You know, he loves playing hockey. He shows up to the rink. He's one of those kind of early to show up, late to go guys. You know, puts in a great effort. So he's just a really he lives up to the billing talent wise, but he also lives up to it professionally.
What have your impressions of Luca Cagnoni been up to this point?
Oh, he's been great. You know, it's really transition from the Western Hockey League to the AHL is a big one. We weren't quite sure, you know, especially at his young age, like he's a late birthday, 19, how that was going to go. And I'm pleasantly surprised. He's came in here and not only talent-wise he's held up, but he's held up with physical play.
Yeah, he's a little bit on the smaller side, but one of the things that Drew and I talked about in Wednesday night's broadcast was that he frequently just kind of slips into the right place. His positioning, his awareness seems to be a level of experience beyond his age.
Yeah, I'm really surprised by his poise, because a lot of times you see the extra speed, you see the physicality, everything else, and even players with a lot of hockey IQ and poise, they come into here and they freeze up a little bit, and he really hasn't. You know, he's cool and calm, and that's really helped him.
Colin Graf is off to a very nice start. Of course, that was a huge get for the organization towards the end of last season. What have you seen out of his game thus far?
I've seen a lot, you know, very responsible play, you know, playing a two-way game, adding a lot of offense into it. You know, it's what we saw at Quinnipiac University when he was playing, and then he went into the NHL, and you know, quite often that's a huge jump. He jumped over the American League into there, and now he can come back here and you know, kind of play and get his game, and I'm pleasantly surprised. And you know, what we've seen right now is the Colin Graf that we kind of expected coming out of Quinnipiac.
Is there any other player in recent Sharks developmental history that you can think of that went undrafted because of their small stature and then had the growth spurt and then suddenly became the hot prospect in almost everyone's eyes?
I think there's been a lot of players that you know, that have came through. Any one player, you know, we've had a number of players that were drafted late rounds and free agents. I don't have any one player that really compares, but you know, it's great when you see it. A lot of times it goes back to, you know, it doesn't matter where a player is taken, you know, in their pedigree. Sometimes not being drafted or being drafted in the late rounds is really the impetus to get better and kind of push this guy through.
The fourth line for this team has been the identity line, and it seems to be working so well. What's your reaction when you see something like that's working so harmoniously and well to set the tone out there on the ice?
Well, it's something that we can just always rely upon, and that's what is great for coaches, you know, because you're going to have ebbs and flows in a hockey game, and when you can count on that, when you can count on their effort when they go out there compete to really set the tone, you know, it starts, it gets everybody's juices going at the beginning of the game, maybe after a goal for, maybe after a goal against in certain parts of the game. It just sets the tone, and that's so helpful for a coach and so helpful for the locker room.
What did you think of Ethan Cardwell the other night?
He's been really good up with the Sharks. I think very responsible. I think Ryan Warsawski and the coaches have been happy with his play. And he goes up, and he's a responsible player, works hard. Skating really shows up. So far, so good on the recall.
And just in terms of the team moving forward, I know that, you know, you don't want to temper expectations, but do you want the guys to get cocky? Do you like them feeling like, you know, with a 5-game win streak that losing should be the aberration?
Yeah, it should be. I mean, they need to find that together, and that's what really brings them together. I mean, I really believe that winning breeds winning. We need to win here and have that kind of, you know, permeate throughout the organization. So, you know, if players can get used to winning here, they can bring it in from wherever programs they came from, find their way here and bring it up to the Sharks and to the NHL. That's exactly what we're looking for. So it's, you know, it's really why we're here. If you're doing things right, it does lead to winning. So that's our correlation.
Joe, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ted.
Always fun to talk with Joe Will, and it's been great to be out with him on the road as well as John McCarthy. Just fun seeing these guys and then getting a look at the future. Luca Cagnoni continues to impress. You really like what you're seeing out of a Colin Graf, and I could go on and on and on, but it is so much fun watching these guys because they just have so much ability in front of them, and everyone should be very excited for the future. But that's all the time we have for today. I will see you all on Tuesday as we get ready for Columbus. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
Nice job by Cardwell to be the high forward and keep it in along that board. Now he sends back to the corner. Big scrum for it. Puck skitters free. Soucy pokes it ahead with a backhander, and the Canucks able to break out, but CeCe and Wallman are back. He's down the left wing side. The Canucks dump it in, and now it's out to the slot. Trouble. Oh, what a save by Blackwood off of Pugh Sutter right at the edge of the goal crease.